is a group of, the answer is EPA has identified, it's a couple hundred different organizations, and it's not just companies, it's also the federal government, the Navy, companies, and a lot of different potentially responsible parties. What the group that I work with, which is the court and the city and Northwest Natural and a lot of the other business around here, came together and signed an agreement with EPA to pay for the investigation, this scientific study that we've been paying for. And so we, yes, the companies and the city and the board have paid for that. Now, when EPA comes out with their final plan, that's when they'll say, you owe this much, you owe that much, you owe. And so there are a lot of other people and a lot of other organizations will have to come and pay their fair share. So yes, they have been identified. EPA has done quite a bit of work to identify parties that, and some of them are no longer here. Right? So, yeah, there's a lot of work that's gone into identifying those who are responsible. The law is designed for those who are responsible.
Members from the houseless community to be better informed and educated about the toxins and the cleanup efforts in the Willamette River. Right to Survive meets the second and fourth Thursday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. at Sisters of the Road Cafe on North 6th and Davis in downtown Portland. However, due to it being December, we will just have the first meeting tomorrow and then pick up in January with the biweekly meetings. I hope everyone stays safe and has a happy holiday surrounded by loved ones and friends. Please remember to do something nice for those that are less fortunate than ourselves as we count our blessings. Red to Survive can be seen on Facebook, on Wix, Vimeo, YouTube, can be heard here on KBOO 90.7 FM, and we can be reached at r2spdx@gmail.com. Please check out our Facebook for upcoming events.
The time is 7:02. You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio and Heartbeat Silent Sound Systems proudly presents Silent Nights 2015. A silent disco and silent auction benefit for KBOO, December 19th, 8 p.m. at Manifestation PDX. This very special silent disco features talented KBOO DJs and MCs. You'll have three channels of danceable jams to choose from, including bluegrass, the Grateful Dead, reggae, afrobeat, world music, hip-hop, funk and soul, electronic dance music, bhangra, and global bass music. There's something for everyone. We'll also feature a silent auction with art from local artists as well. Silent Nights will be on Saturday, December 19th from 8 p.m. to midnight at Manifestation PDX, 2020 Southeast Bush Street in Portland. For more information on the lineup and tickets and more, go to kboo.fm/silentnights2015. That's Silent Nights 2015, a benefit for our community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Charles Adams Family and Friends, an art show of 52 original artworks by the creator of the Adams Family and beloved New Yorker cartoonist. The show is up through December 13th at the Saruman House, 5131 Northeast 23rd Avenue in Portland. Saruman House is open Thursday and Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. and Saturdays and Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. Again, that's Charles Adams Family and Friends, an art exhibit up through December 13th at the Saruman House in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
He's 5 foot two and he's 6 feet four. He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Lobau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me.
Not too loud, or...
And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end.
Welcome to KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. That was our song we usually use for Veterans Voice. We're having a different show here tonight. We'll be on a regular show on the 18th. And I'm here with my partner.
Angie.
Yeah. Angie. And we're going to be talking about a problem that we've had before. With the military recruiters in the Portland school system, and we've had them years ago. We had them out of, I think, for like 7 years. We had them out of the schools, and we did it on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we had them out of the schools, and they're back in now and pulling their old tricks again. And we had trouble. We even had trouble before that with the recruiters. And Angie, she's had trouble with her crews one time before, and this is a new problem that they're putting on, and we're going to have to deal with it. And I'm going to let Angie introduce our guests. Go ahead and take it.
Good evening, KBOO listeners. This is Angie, and we have Aiden. Hello, Aiden.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us, and tonight we're going to be talking about basically, from what I gather, you're a Franklin High School student.
Yeah.
And you were at Franklin High School when there was a recruiting event. And basically, a series of events happened that I'm going to ask you about. And after those events happened, there was a response by Lieutenant Colonel Freund. I don't know really how to say his name, but he wrote a letter to the Portland Tribune and the Selwood Bee, and basically called you an armed criminal adult. And we do have your parent in the room with us right now, so we can assure the public that that is not actually true. So here we are going to proceed to dispel lies that the recruiters have put their foot in their mouth again. So I just kind of want to start with what actually happened that day.
What was going on that day?
And that was November 4th.
Yeah, on November 3rd, every morning we have announcements, second period, through the intercom system. And over the announcements, they made a last-minute kind of thing that military recruiters would be in the main hallway during lunch the next day.
Okay.
and we'd never heard anything about this before. This was just tucked in at the end. And so immediately I started thinking about, well, this is kind of weird. I didn't know they were actually allowed to come into our schools. And I talked to some of my friends at lunch, and we decided to try to set up a little last minute, more of an educational effort than a protest at first, really, just to distribute some
That is pretty much what a protest is.
Yeah.
It is an educational effort, unless it's the Tea Party.
Yeah, good point. And so the next period, I went out to the library and worked on making some flyers that we could hand out just to give a different perspective to military crewmen, to our peers. And that night, I worked on a poster with some other people that we also held up, just with a kind of a list of the main ideas that we had and some basic points.
Hmm.
And so the next day at lunch, we went down to the main hall, and the military crews were set up. There was two tables of them, a Marine table and a Army table, and all the recruiters were in full uniform. And there was also a table with representatives from the War Resisters League of Portland, which is a counter-recruitment group that we did not know that they would be there, but it was certainly nice to see them. They had much better material than we did, obviously more time to prepare. And we started handing out our flyers to kids after they'd go up to the military table. We'd see them, talk to them, and as they were walking away, go up to them, ask if they wanted to take one of our flyers, and kind of just explain where we were coming from, and that there's other options to join the military. It's not the only way to pay for college.
Mm-hmm.
It probably won't help you pay for college. And that you might be asked to do things that you disagree with on a moral basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty quickly...
I think Marvin and I can attest to that.
Oh, yeah.
As veterans.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to just tell folks what the post... These are the flyer. This is the flyer, right?
Yeah. That,
okay, this is flyer. It says, recognize any of these images... And one of them is of the slaughter at My Lai. The next one is the bombing of Hiroshima. The one in the corner is of the young Vietnamese girl who was napalmed during the war.
Mm-hmm.
She's running down the road. And the other one is of the prisoner who is standing on the box with a black hood over his head.
Abu Ghraib.
And that's what was on this flyer. And these are just a small sample of war crimes and atrocities committed by United States soldiers. My Lai, atomic bombing Hiroshima, napalm girl that tortured Abu Ghraib. And on the bottom they've put, we oppose recruitment because we are internationalist, anti-militarist, and opposed to all wars waged by capitalistic governments.
I'd just like to interject that... That's a quote that Emma Goldman,
right.
The activist, used right. in her anti-conscription right. league in mm-hmm. New York, and we borrowed it and changed the words around.
Just wonderful. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. Teach peace military recruiters out of our schools. And there's a picture, it looks like it's in the Middle East, and a child is putting a flower in the barrel of a soldier's gun, rifle, and... School is a sanctuary of education for our children, not a place for the promotion of violence and war. I mean, there's nothing wrong with these flyers. There's nothing wrong with them.
Well, these have been called propaganda in the letter, which we'll read in a few minutes. The only thing about those images are that they are very disturbing, and they are disturbing because they're wrong. And if they're wrong, then we shouldn't be participating.
Every one of
that.
These pictures have been in the newspapers, or they've been in magazines.
Right.
You know, there's nothing here.
Or you said the cover of Time magazine.
The Abu Ghraib.
These pictures have been used in social studies curriculums at our school. Students are being shown them by their teachers.
There's no. There's nothing wrong with it. How old are you, Aiden? I don't
either. I'm 16.
16? Okay.
So back to, I was kind of curious, how many other students were you able to rally?
There was about five of us, I think. One of us holding the poster and the rest of us handing out flyers. And in the main hall, almost immediately, one of the security guards came up to us as we first tried to tape up our poster onto the wall and told us that we were, quote, engaging in property desecration.
Oh, okay.
those were his words, and that we needed to take it down, and we could hold it up, but we can't tape anything to the walls. And so we taped it to someone's back instead. And yeah, continue handing that stuff out. And
well, that's what the military would call property desecration if you put it on somebody's body. Because your body's property of the military.
Yeah, the GI issue. That's what GI is. GI issue. That's what they call it. GI. Yeah.
So anyway, you did that, and then what were the reactions? What was it like? You guys actually all came up to the recruiter's booth, or
so what? We were the recruiters were set up on one side of the hallway. And our school has pretty wide hallways, and we were standing on the opposite side, facing them, and trying to go up to kids as they left the table, but not getting in anyone's way or anything. And a couple of the recruiters actually came and talked to us. We had little discussions with them. We had a pretty lengthy one with one of the recruiters who was talking to us about Hiroshima and if that was the right thing to do, until one of his superiors, I think, told him that he needed to stop talking with us and just ignore us. He just walked away.
Mm. Oh, so he said something about Hiroshima and that was about it?
Yeah, he said that bombing Hiroshima was necessary to end the war because it could have gone on longer.
Oh, well, he should move over there then, bring his family with him.
Yeah, we've had that argument with those guys before, you know. And the one thing they will not do, the recruiters will not do, is they will not sit down and debate veterans. They won't do it. We've been doing this in Portland for a long time, and they refuse to sit in a room with us and debate us. They won't do it. And so...
Well, that's because they know that they're going to have to face some of the truths that they unfortunately are not able to admit to themselves.
And justify it. So
anyway.
So he came up to you and was trying to debate with you, and then his superior told him to go away. Mm-hmm. And so go on from there.
So after that, our vice principal, one of our vice principals, came out and insisted that me and my friend who was, I don't want to call us leaders, but we were the ones who organized it, demanded that we come into the principal's office. And at first we said, no, we only have half an hour of lunch. We can come in afterwards for sure, but we need to be out here for the entire time. And she kept insisting, and so I threatened us with referrals. And so eventually I gave my flyers to another student who was handing them out and followed her in. And so we walked into the principal's office, and our principal, Juanita Valder, told us that what we were doing, first she asked us if we were affiliated with the counter-recruitment group that was already there. She was assuming that group had told us to do this because they're not allowed to hand stuff to students. They've gotten in trouble for that before. They just have to sit silently behind their table, which was tucked around the corner out of sight. And so we assured her that we were not contacted by them in any way. And so she moved on to telling us that because the imagery that we were using on our flyer was graphic in nature, that students could be offended by it and we'd have to stop then, and that her uncle had served in Vietnam and she was personally offended by the images, and further that because we were doing this, we were somehow preventing students who had pro-military views from expressing their opinions as well, that we weren't allowed to do this unless there were students from the opposite side handing out flyers as well.
Okay.
All of which are not in district policy at all.
No, it's not.
We later learned.
No, it's not. It sounds like they only wanted one side. She only wanted one side of the story. So if anybody feels like calling the principal at Franklin High School, the only phone number I could get is 503-916-5140. And that's the principal, Juanita Valder, 503-916-5140. And we're going to repeat that again later.
Yeah. Yes, we will. And so when she took you in there, when she was saying that these pictures were, you know, bad, did you say, well, you use them in our social studies classes? Did you Did you bring that up at the time?
I didn't bring that up at the time. I didn't think of that. Yeah. But I did bring up that they've been used in magazines. They're not hidden images. These are part of American media history.
How long did she keep you in there?
We were in there for about 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
So, yeah, well, by the time we got back out, lunch was almost over.
Mm-hmm.
So
did a lot of kids take your information? Did a lot of kids take your flyers?
Yeah, basically everyone we offered it to took it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure at all how many of them took it seriously, but we did have we engaged a couple kids in conversations about it. We noticed that a lot of them really, the primary drive for them wanting to join the military was to pay for college through GI Bill benefits.
Of course it is.
Which, I mean, the statistically only 65%, I think, of recruits who join for that actually get the money.
Yeah.
And it's $75,000.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of college help.
When
I got out, it was only 30. And that was barely enough to scrape by with a... You could scrape by with a four-year degree if you knew exactly what you were going to do and didn't skew at all from that thing. And we're in a poverty draft. There's no doubt about that. The recruiters focus on students who need to pay for college. They are predatory towards them, and we know that. It's a school-to-prison pipeline. There is a school-to-military pipeline that exists economically, and we're aware of that. They're very aware of that, more than even we are in some ways.
I don't know if it's still what they were doing during the Vietnam War. If kids would get in trouble with the police, the recruiters had made deals with judges. And so they would go before a judge, and the judge would say, well, you got two options here. You're going to go to jail or you're going to join the military.
That still happens. I was in, I had served with a few people. There was even one who had a felony. They say that you cannot join the military with a felony. It depends what the felony is. You can, a lot of people in the military have had some type of problem with the law, mm-hmm. including myself. You know, I was a troubled. I was arrested twice before my recruiter told me to lie about it, so I almost lost my security clearance. But anyway, that's another story. So,
they lie.
Basically, they're lying to you. So, did you seek any, or were there any repercussions after that day? I mean, what was the reaction after that day?
I was pretty upset. Obviously, but
what were you upset about?
That we had been taken to the principal's office and cut short. And afterwards, I was trying to talk with the counter recruiters who were there, and the principal came over to me and interrupted our conversation, demanding that we take down some flyers that we had put up. She was definitely intent on not waiting for us to finish talking. Mm-hmm. And that bothered me just because I felt like that in our conversation in her office, she wasn't treating us as equals, that we were under her.
Mm-hmm. She's patronizing you.
Yeah, I definitely felt like that.
Yeah.
A few days later, I got a note to come down to the office again, and I had a meeting with the vice principal, who showed me a printout of the district policy on student free speech that had been sent out to all of the whole staff of the school as well. And the board policy was not broken by us. The one argument that you could make is that we had offensive imagery and that we were harassing students. That's what they were saying we were doing. But we were just going up to people and talking to them like we would any time during the school day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to add a disclaimer to all of our posters that our message is not endorsed by Franklin High School.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are offended by those images, maybe they should do something to stop them from happening instead of attacking you.
Go ahead. And this is just really interesting. Go ahead and read. This is the colonel. This is the letter that this colonel, well, Angie can tell you.
This was published about a week later,
This was published a couple weeks ago. This is a letter from Lieutenant Colonel Freund. I don't know.
Freund.
Freund,
I think.
Sigmund
Freund.
Sigmund
Freund.
He's got two kids in the Portland Public School District, and I'm not sure why he's not sending his own kids. So, editor, this is a letter that he wrote to the editor. This is not me. Editor, last Wednesday, November 4th, just 1 week before Veterans Day at Franklin High School, two Army recruiters offered information on military careers, education, and medical benefits. If you can actually get them.
Yeah.
They don't give you a dishonorable discharge for having PTSD. Sorry, that was me. Anyway, back to the letter. Recruiters help students to understand how Army service can help them accomplish their life goals. When they turn 17 or have parental consent at 17, youth can make informed decisions. Disclaimer, not according to the American Public Health Association, they can't.
Yep.
Anyway, under Portland Public Schools' equal access policy, Portland Public School invited counter-recruiters. This allegedly provides alternate perspectives and other career paths to students seeking military career information. However, on November 4th, about 10 unidentified 20-year-olds, and perhaps some Franklin students. Wow, you look like a 20-year-old, Aiden.
You don't look 28.
I'm not sure how they missed that connection with young people with backpacks in the high school.
Yeah.
Not being high schoolers.
Well, because they are just lying here. Prepared for counter-recruiting, these unidentified 20-year-olds prepared for counter-recruiting disrupted the event. They distributed inflammatory materials labeling soldiers terrorists and hitmen and containing explicit images. Did you label them hitmen or terrorists?
Yes, our sign did label them. I'm going to go into that in my letter because we do have a defense for that on why we chose those words.
You said war crimes and nothing big.
Well, the United States military is the biggest mafia in the world. Anyway, back to the letter. They offered nothing helpful for students' futures, only propaganda, whereas recruiters had information on the free college test preparation course available to all. Wow, really impressive. This mob intimidated mob.
Mom. Five guys. Five people to mob.
Students. Oh, 20-year-olds. This mob intimidated students who sought information and also called arm recruiters baby killers. These two. Well.
We never said that.
Okay.
Regardless of how true it might be, we didn't call them that.
So you did not call them that?
No.
Okay, so that's really, really low that somebody has to steep down to this level.
Of lying.
Well, anyway, back to this ridiculous letter. These two professionals have experienced worse. Between them, they have 6 combat tours and 1 Purple Heart. I recognize and defend Portland Public School students' right to assemble and exercise free speech in responsible ways. If PPS has taught them well, they should research facts and exercise critical thought before responsible action. Here we go. However, no one should harass youth for seeking opportunities or insult and bully students with veteran family members. It is very disturbing that PPS lacks sufficient capacity to prevent unknown outsiders. This is where it gets really ugly. To prevent unknown outsiders from accessing and intimidating students. Who were these individuals? Were they armed or criminals?
Ugh.
Do parents consent?
Ugh.
PPS is not explained. This under-resourced, paternalistic, equal access approach does not protect students who can legally decide themselves, but gives activists without credentials, I guess being a military veteran doesn't give me a credential to talk about the military, according to this person.
Yeah.
A stage for antics while denying deserving students opportunities. Parents should ask PPS to re-examine the risk of counter-recruiter access. It jeopardizes their goal to prepare students to make productive life decisions. In full disclosure, I command the U.S. Army Recruiting Battalion in Portland. I am also the proud parent, proud father of two PPS students. So that was a letter written by Lieutenant Colonel Freund.
Freund.
That is, I'm not saying friend. And his phone number is 503-256-1431. If you feel like calling the principal of Franklin High School, Juanita, her number is 503-916-5140. Again, Lieutenant Colonel Ernie, I'll just call him Ernie. 503-256-1431. I'm not in the reserves anymore, so I can say that.
Yeah, you can.
Anyway, so you wrote a letter in response.
How long after that letter came out did you write yours?
So I got an email from John from the counter recruiting.
John Grusho.
Yeah, John Grusho. At about 11 o'clock Sunday night after it was published, and I wrote my first draft of this letter by midnight that same night. So I got to work right away on it and sent it in within 3 days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I also like to point out that there was more than two recruiters at this event. There was about seven of them.
Really?
There wasn't just two guys. And they actually came back a couple weeks ago for a makeup visit because we disrupted them so much.
Mm-hmm. Makeup visit.
They're normally allowed only three per year, but they got a bonus one. And there was...
Wait a minute. They're allowed three per year, and they got a bonus one because you disrupted the first one.
Yeah, this one was in a classroom. They weren't out in the hallway, but there was even more of them in there. And only one student actually went and talked to them at that one.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about that. I want to ask you about that, but I want to read your letter first.
Yeah.
So this is the letter I wrote in response. A recent letter entitled "Non-Students Disrupt Army Recruiters" in the November 19th edition of the Portland Tribune was littered with factual errors and misrepresentations. I was the student who organized the action in question. I am 16 years old and worked only with my peers, all of whom are under 18 years old and are students at Franklin High School. The claim that 10 unidentified 20-year-olds participated is simply not true, as well as the implication that we were armed or even criminals.
Mm.
It is true that we distributed materials to our peers after they had spoken with recruiters. Those materials did contain historically accurate images of war, such as the Pulitzer Prize-winning Napalm Girl photograph. We chose to use these images of crimes the U.S. military has committed to show our peers what they could be signing up to do. We also held a sign that stated our belief that any organization that finds it fitting to use nuclear weapons on civilians should be labeled as terrorists, based on the definition of the word, using terror in pursuit of political aims. The claims that we intimidated students or bullied anyone with military families are incorrect. No students were approached in an aggressive manner, nor were insults uttered. We are there to exercise our First Amendment rights and nothing more, and believe that we have a right to discuss issues that impact the welfare of our peers. It saddens me that my peers and I are being attacked for expressing our pro-peace views.
Well, that was really good.
That is a very good letter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's that a lot really better good. Than his letter.
Oh. Yeah, shorter and better to the point.
Yeah.
Did you look in the Tribune after that to see if there were any letters
backlashing you?
Yeah.
Mine was published last Thursday or Tuesday in the Tribune, and I haven't checked since then to see if there's any responses.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any responses to Colonel Freud and Freud.
There's so John sent one, I sent one, and you sent one.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, was there any from...
From others?
Yeah, just the general public in support or not support of the military.
Not that I... Nope.
Didn't see any?
No.
Hmm.
So, anyway, so back to that next one that happened.
Yeah.
They got their makeup recruiter day because they got so few students that day. Not because you were interrupting them, but because apparently the kids are smart enough not to sign up.
Yeah, the first day, they got quite a few students, and they're in the main hall.
Okay.
So there's a lot of traffic going through there. They're high visibility. The second time, they were off in a classroom, and there was announcements the week leading up that they would be there, and you can go check them out during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set up outside. We weren't allowed to go into the classroom, but we were outside and handed out our material.
How many of you were there?
About six of us.
All and under 20, right?
Yes, all under 20, yeah.
Did you have any arms, weapons?
Just as
no weapons.
Left arm and right arm.
Two arms, okay. Yeah. Physical arms left connected arm to right your arm. Body and appendages.
One or two students maybe went into that classroom to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had one of us go in and talk to them and just to see what kind of stuff they were handing out. And there was a lot of these really well put together flyers with images of attractive people in army uniforms doing heroic stuff and talking about how, look, this picture of a happy family could be you. You can pay for college with this. You get great benefits when you retire.
Hmm. What actually did you have any backlash about that scenario?
Yeah, the second time. Did you have any?
What was your experience? Did the principal come up to you?
The second time I checked with the administration beforehand to make sure they knew what was happening.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they did have one of the campus security guards come stay with us the entire time, but we didn't have any difficulties.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that was an intimidation thing, or were they just there, just kind of standing around making sure nothing happened, or?
The security guards?
Yeah. The security.
I think it was to make sure that we weren't
going
into the classroom. And he, I think he is a veteran as well. And so he was having a discussion with us.
Mm-hmm. So that went over pretty well.
Yeah, the second time went over much better.
Okay. And Angie, you wrote a letter.
Oh, do you want me to read it?
Yeah, read your letter.
My boring letter.
Boring letter.
Okay. Dear editor, this is actually published now in the Portland Tribune. The November 2015 letter by Lieutenant Colonel Ernie Frund, this is actually a lengthened version, by the way. I had to shorten it to 300 words to get it in the Tribune. But yeah, this is the one I sent to the B. This is my original. The November 2015 letter by Lieutenant Colonel Ernie Frund, U.S. Army Recruiting Battalion, asserted that the counter-recruiting team implanted protesters up to age 20 and possibly armed criminals into Franklin High School to confront military recruiters on November 4th, 2015. His bias outburst is an insult to the intelligence and protected freedoms of the students. Friend has suggested to the public that these student demonstrators may be armed adult criminals. Considering the school shootings that have taken place worldwide, this nescient comment humiliates families and survivors of such attacks. It promotes an atmosphere of fear, foments images of terror, and mocks American students' constitutional rights. The students who protested on November 4th did so on their own accord, with no assistance from the counter-recruiting team. Counter-recruiters were not involved in the planning or implementation of any student action that may have occurred. This is not what counter-military recruiters do on Portland public school campuses. I have been a counter-recruiter for 5 years in the Portland Public School District. I am an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran. I never tell children not to join the military, but I do ask them to consider the severity of making that choice. That is what our voluntary counter-recruiting team does. Our educators comprise veterans ranging from wars in Vietnam, the Cold War, Iraq, and Afghanistan. We are former Special Forces soldiers, combat and non-combat veterans. We are social workers, former public school teachers, parents, and peaceful citizens. The wars mentioned above, well, literally if you're looking at the letter, have resulted in millions of deaths. The economic cost is in the trillions. Friend enjoys his paycheck, funded with our tax dollars, to write an appeal to abandon First Amendment protections. Friend's letter does nothing to help our veterans, who remain vulnerable to tax austerity fallout and risk higher rates of houselessness, unemployment, suicide, substance abuse, and moral injury than the non-veteran population. Military recruiters seem to desire sole and unprohibited access to children. And for the public school to view PPS adolescents as weaponized adult aggressors being puppeteered by the peace community. As the Middle East and parts of Africa crumble into total chaos, resulting in the largest exodus in recent history, and rates of U.S. military death by suicide surpasses death by combat, it is imperative that our youth have truthful information about the military. We should consider the words of tens of thousands, consider the word of thousands of veterans nationwide, hundreds of which spoke at the 2009 Winter Soldier testimonies, who will tell you that we do not wish war on our worst enemy. And the link I gave was www.ivaw.org/Winter Soldier. That's Iraq Veterans Against the War .org, ivaw.org/Winter Soldier. And that's actually posted in the Portland Tribune, or at least an edited version of that. And once again, I'm going to say their phone numbers. Juanita Valder, she's a principal at Franklin High School. Please just, if anybody's listening and just would like to share their opinion, please do so peacefully. 503-916-5140. And Lieutenant Colonel Ernie Friend, 503-256-1431.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty interesting. I want to get back to you, Aiden. Are you guys going to do any more?
Certainly. The next time the recruiters are scheduled is early February, mm-hmm. and they will be in the main hall again, and we will definitely be there,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully even more organized than we have been these last two times,
mm-hmm.
and with more students involved.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to videotape it?
I would believe so. We're allowed to film each other at lunch.
That way, I mean...
That would be great.
That way you have some kind of, like, video record of what actually occurred, mm-hmm. and they can't say that you did this or that, or... Because they're going to make a fuss no matter what, so... Mm-hmm.
It's one thing you should do. Did you ever hear what they did to these guys? What school was you at, Madison?
I was at Cleveland.
Cleveland. Listen to what they did. This is what you have to watch out for. Tell them what happened to you guys.
So, this is at an equal access visit at Cleveland High School, and myself and a fellow Iraq combat medic veteran were in this classroom with some military recruiters, and I think there are about eight of them, and there are two of us, and... there were only four students in the classroom, two boys and two girls, and they had a TV set up, a big flat screen TV, and they were showing all these ridiculous Special Forces videos, which, of course, the kids are not going to be doing.
Were they doing that at the last one they came? Did they have their TV set up?
I didn't see a TV in the room. They might have had the projector on, but I can't
say anything. I think they actually got in trouble for that after this incident. But anyway... So it had already been over 50% of the class period had gone through, and we could see that these four kids were just sitting there, and the recruiters are just trying to come up with their next pitch line that they're going to try to sell these students on, and things were just really boring, really, really.
So this was the whole class period instead of just the lunchtime thing?
It was quite a while. I don't really know, honestly, but I think it was about 45 minutes or an hour or something like that.
Yeah, definitely not lunch.
Okay. I don't remember.
Definitely not lunch.
Okay, because lunch is like what?
36, 35, something.
Really? Oh. Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it was longer than that. But anyway, so we could see, Jeff and I could see that they were not going to give us the equal access that was actually voted on in the Portland Public School District 7-0. There were no opponents in allowing us into the schools. And so we went up to the classroom and we just started talking to the students. And immediately they just started heckling us. They started clapping. They started stomping their feet. They started laughing. One recruiter got right in front of me, only about, I would say, 4 to 5 feet in front of me, and started videotaping me and just holding his phone out directly at me, clearly in an intimidation stance. And they said, you know, you got to get out of here. Your time is up. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And because I didn't want to engage with them, and there was clearly no point in me sticking around, Jeff and I left. So I walked out. I was really shaky. I was really shaken up. And so I ended up writing a statement about that. I also went on the Veterans for Peace Forum show, TV show, and which is on cable access. And then I also came on here. Mm-hmm. Jeff and I came on here.
Yeah, you guys came on our show.
And we gave the phone number to that recruiter as well. And so what ended up happening was they weren't allowed to use their fancy TVs anymore. They were definitely, they definitely don't want us in the schools. They don't want that, because especially veterans, we have personal knowledge. We have the ability to dispel the lies that they want to say, and we're like the biggest threat to them. Even though we're totally peaceful, we are the people who can actually start to break down these fortresses of just lies and basically anything that they want to say to get a student to join. They're desperate. I mean, the fact is that they will get demoted, or at least not promoted, if they don't make their quota for students. And I was reading a couple articles earlier about some of the suicide rates among military recruiters. They're pretty high. There's been a couple of strings, actually, of military recruiter suicides that have happened because they have so much pressure on them. And yes, they do go to Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're deployed over there and probably have untreated PTSD, or at least they're not able to fully treat PTSD. And then they're told to come back here and try to suck in other kids into it. That's really pretty sick. And it's pretty sad. And we can see, you know, I was just reading about the refugee camp outside of Paris, France, and they're all refugees essentially from U.S. conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
They're Iraqi refugees, Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia. They're refugees from places that if this supposed war in Afghanistan, 14 years, if we haven't supposedly quote unquote won by then why are we even there? Why are we even over there? We're just causing more problems and wasting money, destroying the environment, and there's no reason why we should be sucking in more students. And the fact is that these kids, no offense, but your brain isn't developed yet enough to make long-term critical decisions. Not saying that because I think you're whatever. It's just, you know, there's a certain kind of processing and growth that takes place in a human brain that before the age of, I would say, like early 20s, you can't really make informed decisions about long-term effects.
Well, yeah, most of us are actually taking psychology, for sure.
In high school?
In high school, yeah. Wow. It's one of the most popular classes at our school.
You have a cooler high school than me.
Yeah, of course we agree with you that our brains just aren't as developed, but the recruiters don't want the students to know that. They want to give the impression that you're mature, you can make these really important decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And sign up for the Army, and it's an adult thing to do. I knew a kid last year who he seems like one of the most unlikely candidates to ever go into the Army, and at the end of his senior year he just made the decision all of a sudden that he thought it was his only way he could ever go out and amount to anything or travel. and we haven't heard from him in months.
Oh, really?
What actually got you interested in being thinking for yourself?
Yeah.
Well,
had you seen you'd seen the recruiters in your school before?
No, I hadn't actually.
This is the first time.
I hadn't noticed them at all last year. Just in general, to answer your question, I think I'd have to give credit to my parents first and how they raised me. And since even back in third grade, I started an animal rights group in my class after reading Food, Inc. and The Omnivore's Dilemma by mm-hmm. Michael Pollan and seeing him speak and a couple other books. And I've been a vegetarian since then.
Good for you.
And so since really young, I've just been really interested in things like this.
You know, one of the things...
activism.
One of the things that you can do next time these people come to your school is one of the things that these kids don't understand is when they come back from their service and they have time left in the military and they've been in the combat zone, Afghanistan and Iraq, that what'll happen is they'll have all these psychological problems, just really hard problems. And what the military will do, they'll diagnose them with everything but post-traumatic stress. They'll diagnose them with, you know, personality problems and, you know, they can't, adjustment problems, and they'll do all that. And that way, they can get them out of the military and they don't have to pay them because they'll give them dishonorable discharges or less than honorable discharges. And when that happens, they can't go to the veterans hospital and get help if they got a dishonorable discharge. And, you know, that's one of the big things that they don't... There's a big, big rate of dishonorable discharges in the military.
And they don't qualify for the GI Bill
they
college
do not,
either.
They don't. They won't. They don't do it.
I want to ask you how some of the other people at your school have reacted, in general. Have you, like, your peers, not talking about faculty or recruiters, just your peers?
A couple students have talked about it. It's not really a big issue. I mean, among my friends, of course, we celebrated afterwards and what we saw as a success. I have had short conversations with a couple kids who are definitely the kind that their one goal is to join the military. They've thought that they've been planning this for years about it, but it hasn't. It is a high school, and so I think sometimes the apathy of adolescence can overpower stuff like that.
Right. Right. There's no draft, and they don't have to sign up for the draft.
Well, they do when they turn 18.
Yeah, the men do, and maybe the women, too.
Yeah, they just said that women are going to have to start.
Signing up for selective service.
Yeah.
Well, they just opened up all combat arms to women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them.
Actually, one of the things that got me into... anti-militarism recently is reading about selective service. I had no idea that the draft was still around and still on the books.
Yeah, it is.
And so researching that led into this.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's a really interesting... I've never heard that before. But that is very interesting. What other things have you found or discovered on your journey of, like, the issues of war and peace? Is there anything that you came upon that just struck you?
Yeah, definitely about the My Lai massacre. I've done a lot. I like history a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Done a lot of reading about wars in general. I've recently, after working on this flyer, become really interested in the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. And Guantanamo Bay, other more recent military atrocities.
Yeah, they just definitely don't want you thinking about those things. What do you got there, Angie?
Well, I wanted to read a quote from the former military chief, retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, who came up through intelligence positions in Iraq and Afghanistan says that the George W. Bush administration's Iraq war was a tremendous blunder that helped to create the self-proclaimed Islamic State.
Yeah.
It was a huge error, Flynn said. Huge error. As brutal as Saddam Hussein was, it was a mistake just to eliminate him. The same is true for Muammar Gaddafi and for Libya, which is now a failed state. The historic lesson is that this was a strategic failure to go into Iraq. History will not be and should not be kind with that decision. So, I mean, we have these failed wars, and I think that a lot of recruiters are just kind of desperate, and they're going to the students who have the least amount of money, mm-hmm. and it is the college that they're trying to entice them with. But the thing is that you can go to college and not join the military. You can get the Pell Grant. I mean, you can go to trade school. You don't need $1 million to go to community college. So what?
Why should they have to sacrifice their lives to get a high, to get an education? Why can't they get that money before they go in the military to get a good education? You know, like our OTC does, you know?
Do you have any kind of, like, plans for your future or ideas or interests?
Well, I'm currently working on graduating in 3 years, taking some classes online, and I want to go on an exchange program, travel the world, and...
Good for you.
Without having to kill people while traveling.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely, yeah, go to college. I don't know how I'd pay for it, but...
There's all kinds of ways out there to do it without going in the military. And if the military is such a good idea, you know, why do they have to go into schools? They have recruiting stations. Do they think that these kids are so stupid that they can't find a recruiting station?
Well, actually, you know, at our high school, there is a recruiting station about 300 yards away from the school. It is in Eastport Plaza, right next to the school.
Yeah.
You can go there in 5 minutes. You could go there during lunch and be back in time.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, it's incredibly close.
Yeah.
And, well, back to what you were saying about the disproportionate recruiting, mm-hmm. Definitely targeting the poor. I was reading an article earlier talking about that, and of course they go after people who need money.
Right.
They sell the college thing. Black women are the most overrepresented group in the military. There's more black women in the military than there are white women and black men combined.
Really? Do you know that black women veterans have more homelessness? They have more divorces? They have more alcohol and drug problems than the rest of them? Black women in the military just don't work. I mean, it's a real problem. So many families are torn up, and these women are homeless on the streets, and there's nothing for them, you know? We're just about out of time, and we've been talking to Aiden and his mother, Ines, here, and their friend, Ray Botke. Botke's here. She hasn't said anything.
Should we give out numbers one last time?
Yeah, let's give out the numbers here. We're going to talk to the principal, Juanita Valder, at Franklin High School, 503-916-5140. And then Lieutenant Colonel Ernie Freuden. And Freuden. Freuden. 503-256-1431. And we've been through this before. Every time this happens, that the students... or us veterans go into these school every year, just about something like this happens every year, just about every time. And so I really hope that you, Aiden, that you guys keep doing it and talk to as students in other schools too.
Oh, yeah, I've actually been in touch with the Cleveland Student Union.
Yeah, talk to other students in the other schools, you know, get it going together, you know. Because you're the guy, you're the men and the women that these folks are going after. You're the ones. And to fight back, the only thing you can do is tell them the truth. And that's all you can do, Aiden. And what you did is great. I'm really happy about it.
Thank you.
Really, really happy. I want to thank Erin, our engineer, for tonight. She didn't know. I don't think she knew we were coming. And she's been engineering for us. And Angie and I will be back for Veterans Voice on December 18th at 9 a.m. And we'll be doing another show on the 18th. And this is next year. It's our 25th year on this radio station of Veterans Voice on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. And we want to thank you for coming, Aiden.
Thank you for having me.
We want to thank you, Ray, for coming. And there it is.
KBOO Community Radio is glad to be a co-sponsor of the Andrew Endres Collective album release party, Thursday, December 10th at Jimmy Max in Portland. The Andrew Endres Collective is both traditional and modern jazz, and this sextet will release Desolation on vinyl and CD. The Blue Cranes will also perform. Again, that's the Andrew Endres Collective album release party, Thursday, December 10th at Jimmy Max, 221 Northwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Fiesta Flamenca Navideña on Friday and Saturday, December 11th and 12th at 7 p.m. at the Headwaters Theater in Portland. Fiesta Flamenca Navideña will celebrate the season in flamenco style with performances by Three Shine Flamenco, Stomptown Flamenco, Coro Navideño, and more. Again, that's Fiesta Flamenca Navideña, Friday and Saturday, December 11th and 12th at 7 p.m. at the Headwaters Theater.